We thank you for loving us and providing for us a place that we can come and worship in this sanctuary. In your name I pray, amen. I do want to, it'd be remissful if I didn't do this. I want to thank Dr. Engelbrecht for sharing last weekend. Excellent word you shared. It made me go home and pull out my Leatherman and sharpen it as it could be. After that story you gave, I don't want a dull knife. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll have to go online and listen to that message and hear that story. But I said, oh man, I need to have a sharp knife. So anyway, I thank you so much for sharing last week. There's this little boy. He stopped by a supermarket and asked the cashier if he could help him find a box of Tide. And the merchant there said, a box of Tide? What do you need a box of Tide for? And the little boy said, I need this box of Tide to wash my cat. And I'm like, I mean, some of you know my love for cats. And I'm like, washing a cat with Tide? It doesn't sound like a bad idea to me, but the clerk said, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think you should wash your cat with Tide. And the little boy said, oh, it'll be all right. And so a couple of days later, the little boy came back through the supermarket and shared the sad news that his cat, you know, his cat had died. And the lady said, well, I told you that wasn't a good idea to wash your kid with Tide detergent. And the boy quickly said, nah, he didn't die from the Tide. It was a spin cycle that got him. Yeah. I think this kind of describes life, doesn't it? It's the spin cycle that gets us. It leaves us twisted and sometimes wrung to dry. Today, I want to look at how we can comfort people, because we are stewards of the presence of God. One of the reasons we exist is so that others can see the glory of God inside each and every one of us. So this being said, we are also to be stewards of God's comfort, because he provides us that. So this being said, we are to be stewards of God's comfort. We exist to share with others our experiences. And though these experiences, we can provide comfort through others. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I will start from verse 3. Amen. When we have been spun dry in the spin cycle, because of how we were able to comfort others who have gone through bad cycles ourselves, spin cycles ourselves, we can also look at this word. We see that God offers comfort in this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our soft sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. The first thing when we read this is that God the Father is the ultimate source of comfort. No better comfort comes than from Him. It said, Blessed be God, our Father, our Lord Jesus. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. The word comfort brings this image of coming alongside someone, being comforted. We encourage and we strengthen one another. Aristotle once said, all causes of things are beginnings. We say a cause is something that makes something happen, and the effect is what happens because of the cause. Everything has an original cause or beginning. The Bible tells us that God is a God of all comfort, and that God is a source of mercy. All comfort that comes into our lives originates from God. Comfort doesn't originate from Dr. Phil. It doesn't originate from Oprah or Ellen. It doesn't come from physicians with the greatest of bedside manner. Comfort begins with God as it bubbles up and it springs, comes flowing down, trickling down the rivers and flowing north, south, east, and west. Flowing through the deltas of people. Now, even though it may flow to us, our text reminds us, God's word reminds us that the comfort of God also flows through us. He's the originator, but that comfort that He provides flows also through us. Caring and comfort is about us and others. He confronts us in all of our afflictions so that we can comfort others. The word in some texts, it says troubles. In some versions, the one I'm reading from, the ESV, says afflictions. The word afflictions, or if it says the troubles in your versions, I think the ESV in this case gets it a lot better when it says afflictions. It's afflictions. It's not just an everyday bump in the road or getting stuck in somebody's parking lot. You know, it's a little bit more than that. The word refers to something that comes into our lives that feels as though we have been literally crushed, like our breath has been taken away from us. The word refers to something that comes into our lives that feels as though it doesn't look like we're going to make it. It hits us that hard. There is a survey conducted by the Associated Press back in through MTV in 2014, and it uncovered a surprising insight to the youth culture. They found that 73% of the people between the ages of 13 and 24 were happiest when they were spending time with their families. Of those, 29% surveyed said that their mothers were their idol. 21% said dads were their idols. After spending time with their family, then in a relationship, then it came to friends when they felt happy. So it would seem that it in our nature and in our DNA, our makeup, for people to want to be with people we love and care about. Our understanding of teaching of God expands the loving and caring to include our neighbors. In the great commandment, when we read in Matthew 22:37-38, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great commandment. And then in Matthew 7:12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. When we understand that as recipients of God's grace, that we are jars of clay. We are containers. We hold the comfort and the mercies and the love he has, and they get stored up inside of us. And we are not to exist as the help me out with the tekora pots. What's the name? Starts with the T. Their spot. Thank you. I looked at it on Pinterest and I'm like, man, I hope somebody's gonna help me out. But I'm not talking about, because there's different kinds now. There's the little ones, and but then there's the big ones, you know, that hold like 5 gallons of water in it. It can. They're huge. And we're not to be like that kind of pot. We're to more be like a pitcher where the ingredients is poured into, but we need to be able to pour what God has placed in us into other people. It does no good to have all of that inside and just store it and not share it. We need to be able to pour into others to quench their thirst. To quench what is going on inside of them. To provide comfort to them. It does no good for me to have all of this inside, like I'm feeling good. Yep. Don't you wish you could be like me, kind of. To have all of that, what God has given into you, and see someone in need and not pour it out. We're not here to just store up. We're to share the comfort that God provides in us with others. There was in July of 1992, a police chief in Kentucky was telling the story about he had the duty of sharing the news to the Smith family that both of their teenage kids were in an automobile accident and then that they did not survive. But it wasn't much long after that Rosemary Smith began a ministry called Fellow Travelers. As a way, she used this to reach out to comfort other parents who had lost their children. Every day she reads newspaper. Every day she would read a newspaper and go to the obituary to find families that had lost a young kid and would reach out to them. And she made up these these packets, these care packages, and a three-ring binder notebooks with inspirational messages and more, and she would send them out. And every day she was sending 50 emails a day from people requesting that package. You see, her and her husband have since sent out over 5,000 of these packets to people to help them, to comfort them as they were going through that loss, because they had experienced that too, and they want to provide those people, other individuals who had lost, with comfort. God comforts us so we can comfort others. Interestingly, our ability to comfort another person is linked a lot to our own personal experiences. When we are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us and that speaks of in this text. If you've ever checked into the hospital for a period of time, you know, you go in and they give you that one size fits all kind of gown.
Oh yeah, you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about. It's
not very fashionable. And then to add to that, they give you these socks. Oh my. I don't know who got rich off of that idea, but come on. The non-skid socks that you put on, not very attractive. You want to, as a matter of fact, you want to bring your own socks because you know what you're going to be donning, you know. The basic one size fits all. When anyone suggests that one size fits all, we all know
that that is not true.
Yeah? We know that one size doesn't fit everything. Just as it's true with one-liners. Saying those one-liners, those cliches that are suitable for every situation we find ourselves in. One experience or expression, something to comfort you. And I will tell you that those one-liners aren't suitable for everyone. They're just not. I think that's why God works through so many people. We're all different. So being different, we all can't pit on or even try to listen to that one-size-fits-all line when we're trying to navigate life. Especially when there's those afflictions. Each of us have the ability to offer comfort and encouragement to others. We do. Because of our experience that you've gone through, our own personal experiences. Examples. A person who has never taken a drop of alcohol or never has puffed on a cigarette will not understand the challenge of trying to quit unless someone has been there. The person who has been wise enough in managing their money and has never been in debt cannot understand the despair of facing bankruptcy, but someone who has can. Someone who has four healthy children can't understand what it feels like to not be able to conceive. But someone who cannot conceive, can.
Someone who's been married, someone who is married to Mr. and Mrs. Right, Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful, cannot imagine what it is to be married to an abusive spouse.
But someone who has been abused by a spouse, they can. When others are troubled, we are able to give them some comfort because of something that we ourselves have experienced. And remember, when you are providing that comfort, it's not all about your story. It's about them, okay? So let's not lose focus there. Something happens, but there is something powerful that happens when you have had that same experience that somebody else has gone through. You, as some people would say, young kids would say, you have street cred. There is a spiritual solidarity in sharing stories of suffering and endurance. When we look at those verses 6 and 7, it says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope is for you. Our hope for you is unshakable, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Solidarity. Unity. It's not necessarily a new concept. When people can relate, understand, care because of the common experience, whether it's freedom, passion of a cause, or the loss of a loved one. There was this young man by the name of Damien. 2 days before he's supposed to graduate, his father passed away. He found himself in a place that he'd never been before. The day of the funeral, the church was packed. And there he was on the front row with his mom and his two sisters on the front row. And then it was all said and done, and people were lining up to offer their condolences. And then he saw this young lady. Her name is Kim. Kim was in the same youth group as him. And as she started coming up to him with tear-filled eyes, she came up to him and didn't say a word. All she did was just hug him. And tears were streaming down his face. He said that the whole condolence thing, the whole line was just a big blur to him until Kim came walking up. Because it was just 2 months prior that she had lost her father. So she knew what he was feeling. It was real. It was authentic. So how do we do this comforting thing? There was this English professor in Brooklyn recently She lost her father to a painful battle of bone cancer. Following his death, she seemed like she was bothered. She was inundated with a bunch of messages. All these cards that were meant to make her feel better. Some cards were like to cheer her up. And people were, she said she didn't want somebody coming up and saying, "Come on, you can do it." All cheery. She said all she wanted was for someone to come up and say that I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. And I can say that personally because when my mom died, that's all I wanted somebody. I just wanted someone to come up. I looked to leadership to come by and knock on my door. And it didn't happen. And just like this lady, she said, "I just wanted someone to say, I'm sorry for your loss." And to be followed up with, "How are you? How are you feeling?" Those are crucial questions that we need to ask. How can I support you? What can I do for you? This last week there were a couple of family members whose family members went on to see Christ. They're in heaven right now. I just know they are. And I watched as Palmer Church of God rallied around Rosetta when she put out a message saying, "Hey, my mom, she has but a few hours left and I'm going to spend time with her. What verses can I share with her?" And all of a sudden that my message is like, it started blowing up. Verses from you and John. When I think John was like saying, "Okay, thank you." I sense that. I could be wrong, but he was like saying, "Thank you. That's enough. I don't want to read the whole Bible in one night. We do want to spend time with mom." It's kind of funny. It's bizarre. It's kind of the elephants. You know, elephants, as big as they are, whenever there's an affliction or someone in that herd is, an elephant is grieving, the elephants know it, and they hook up all their trunks to support the one who's grieving. That's what I saw in those messages. And I realize that grieving is private, but it can also be public. We need to be able to look in the eye of those who are grieving and say, "I'm sorry for your loss." Three things. We comfort others when we know that someone is suffering affliction. We need to be able to come alongside them and just be there for them. Sometimes we don't even have to say a word. We just come alongside them and say, "I'm here." And let them look at you like, "What? For what? I'm here for you. Whatever you need." And I mean it. We comfort others when we acknowledge their sadness and we say, whatever it may be that they're going through, that affliction, and be able to say, I'm sorry. We also comfort those when we come alongside them and text them or message them, call them, and let them know that we're praying for them and pray for them. Yeah? Let what Father has poured into you be poured out into others who need to be comforted. Amen. Will you please stand? Amen.